Good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for October 11th, 2015. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. Well, I have this is near Columbus Day, I guess, in October. And I know that's sort of a controversial holiday. 1492, Columbus sailed the blue. Credit for discovering United States, North America. But then his relationships with the Native Americans maybe, you know, weren't too good. And, of course, the Vikings maybe were much earlier in their explorations. Adrian bought me a T-shirt when she was on a trip to Canada, and it says, if I can remember now, fighting terrorism since 1492, and it had three or four Native American Indians standing there with, you know, with rifles. And so when I wear that, some people that notice my T-shirt, they guess, yeah, I got a kick out of that. Okay, we always think about outside situations, not the inside situation. So there's a big immigration problem now, but America's a country of immigrants. Okay, it's the ones who are already here that we say, oh, keep the other ones out. I remember some years ago, Adrian also wrote a letter to the editor, and it was about we're all minorities, you know. And again, it depends on perspective. It means whatever context. Context is so important. In certain situations, you know, you're in the minority. Whether it's it goes much broader than just racial or ethnic or religious. It could be I don't know what examples are, but the wealthy in a country are in the minority. When a WASP Anglo-Saxon Protestant travels in Africa, he's a minority. You know, all kinds of when we make opinions, judgments, categorizations, labels, it all depends upon person, place, and time. And I learned this from a Hindu lady at an interfaith retreat that I was attending some years ago in Minnesota, and it was just part of it wasn't a presentation or anything, it was just social conversation, and it's a person, place, and time. And so I shortened it to the acronym PPT, person, place, and time. So when all of our heated discussions and arguments, and, you know, we don't realize that our perspective is what's important. The context of, well, who are we talking about? Something that's appropriate in one situation is not appropriate in another situation. What was appropriate at a certain time is vice versa. Time goes by. Social mores change. Our own values in an individual person change over time. So what are we talking about? We always spouting off about this and that. Right understanding and wisdom is that kind of mental flexibility or backing off that is able to see wider and wider perspectives. Huh? Something like that. Well, I want to introduce today's guest to give us a Dharma glimpse, David Cuccio. He lives in Wisconsin. He was part of our LM5 group. He and his wife, Linda, went through the program together. And it was really nice because we've had maybe at least three, maybe four, if memory serves, couples that went through the lay ministry program together. And that was very nice. Now, I know that he's a chef, a cook, and his boss took him to Italy for some training recently, and that must have been a fantastic experience. I don't know if that's what he's going to talk about or not, but here's Cuccio.
Good morning, everybody. I am calling from sunny, windy Wisconsin right now, and the leaves are turning color, and a lot of leaves have fallen off the trees already. And the vacation or the trip to Italy was a very eye-opening. I only knew a little bit of Italian. I learned how to say espresso correctly. That was fun. And I did work at four different bakeries while everybody else was going on tours and visiting biodynamic farms and wineries and whatever. But I think I had the best time. Waking up at 3:30 is very easy for me, and that's what I did when I was in Italy for about half the time. The other time it was just going into the Mediterranean or the Tyrrhenian, as it's called some places else, and just meeting a lot of very nice people. But that's really that was a fantastic time, and I'll remember it quite a lot. The Dharma talk I'm about to talk about, it occurred, I'd say about 6 weeks ago. And at first I thought it was a small, inconsequential. But reliving it and applying what I learned at that time is kind of like, let me just go right into it. I don't know if anybody knows what Steamboat is, but it's a retro clothing from the 1800s, early part of this, the 1900s. And it's recapturing to, in a lot of people's minds, a simpler time, a time of more of being proud of what you're wearing in combination, whatever. Well, anyways, at restaurant that I work at, it's called the Field to Fork. They use a lot of local food there for their menus. And I'm the baker there for four different restaurants. And one of the servers, his name is Josh, and he is in that fad of wearing their new clothing, but their style is antique. But he does go out and buy some antique clothing. Well, in 1993, I was a docent or a live actor at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. And that was the 100th anniversary of the World's Fair of 1893. And I was going to be stationed at some part of the museum. And so I took a lot of effort, thought, and creativity to dress up as a fairgoer, somebody who was just showing up for the day. And I bought a boater, which is a straw hat, a round hat, and a broly, which is those huge umbrellas you see in pictures, black, and everybody's got them. But the name they called it, of course, in England was broly, B-R-O-L-L-Y, I believe it is. And a boater is just a straw hat that you sometimes see at politicians' conventions where everybody's got this plastic a hat on that's round, it's got a brim around and flat top. Well, mine is made of straw, and I bought it at Marshall Fields, the men's store, and it was a quality product. And since 1993, I've kept it, the hat and the umbrella. I still have the umbrella, and I still had the hat. And Josh came in with this kind of like a cheap knockoff of this hat, and I decided to wear this hat. I dug it out from the box that I had packed away, and it was in perfect condition. And I wore it to work. And when he saw it, Josh's eyes just lit up, because he saw what he had was really a false image of what the real product was. Well, I took it off my head, and I put it on his head, and it was so perfect. And I got this feeling inside me that says, I'll always have this thought. I don't need an object to remember this thought. And I said to Josh, Josh, this hat is now yours, and wear it with whenever you wear it, just remember that I gave it to you, and remember our association. Well, his eyes and his face just lit up, and what happened had nothing to do with the hat, had nothing to do with Josh, and I think it had to do with me. I felt something within me. It was a joy. It was a rightness. It was like, I really can't really explain it, except it was a joy and a rightness. And when I looked at Josh, he wasn't Josh anymore. He was a loved son. And his flaws, his perfectness were all the same. I remember when I look at my grandchildren, their flaws and their perfectness are just as lovable as anything else. And that feeling just kept, stayed with me. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, he's the same person, but now I'm looking at him much differently. And what I did is I did an experiment the next day. I was having a little problem with another server who was much older. And I looked at him, and I really thought about the feeling that I had for Josh, the experiences that were happening in my body and my mind. And amazing, the animosity that I felt toward this server was not there anymore. And I saw him just like I see myself in the mirror. I have flaws. I have things that I'm good at. I have things that I'm bad at. But I like me, just as I loved Josh as a son. And it came about that I looked at, his name is Reed, by the way, the other person, that he became a brother. Not a stranger, not somebody I was having arguments with, because I argued with my brothers all the time, but they were still my brothers. And I then went on to another server. Her name is Samantha. We call her Sam. And the wonder of this all is that if I took my mind and I remembered what was happening when I gave that hat away, that woman, Sam, she's much younger than me, all of a sudden I wanted to hug her as a sister. I wanted to say, you know, you're a perfect human being. And I did. And she couldn't take it. She kind of flawed, blah, blah, blah. Just like I can't take compliments too well. And I'm not going to do this all the time, because it took a lot of energy. But it opened to me that one of the things that I was learning when I was in the class is they talked about the joy of giving, the joy of being in oneness, the joy of seeing not what was good or not what was bad, but what was good and bad about everything we see, then said, you know, this thing we're seeing is just like me. And if I don't hate myself, or I don't think, you know, that I do like myself, I do love myself, and accept who I am, it was a joy. And since that time in 6 weeks, it's very hard to explain this to people because they sometimes think, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to, which is a flaw, but to acceptance. Okay, that's Rocky, my dog. Rocky, stop. He must have saw a rabbit outside. So that was my Dharma glimpse. We are who we look at. And it took me a long time to come to this, 69 years, but it was worth the trip. What I say I hope it's not too obscure, but I enjoy now meeting people because I see them as brothers and sisters just like me who have good things and not so good things. But you can accept, if I can accept who I am, why can't I accept what other people are? And so that's my Dharma glimpse. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you very much. As I listened, I was reminded of my father, the late Reverend Gyomei Kubose. And he really enjoyed meeting people. He was a real people person. And what resonated to me was when my father used to say, you know, you see, when you respect your own uniqueness, your own absolute value, then, and perhaps only then, you could really accept others and respect their, accept and respect others' uniqueness and unconditional absolute value in themselves. So this is how one achieves inner peace and harmony with others. You get the inner peace because you know who you are. You accept who you are. It's beyond the good and the bad labels. And harmony with others because, you know, when someone strikes out at others in anger, you know that that person is not a very happy camper in himself. This is a... And, wow, I could see that in myself all the time. And, when a person... I say a person, it's not like I'm confessing or something, but I'm speaking from personal experience. And it's universal. It means we're human beings. When I lash out at somebody, I get, you know, usually maybe my spouse or something. But, and we always, when we lash out, we're thinking the reason we're lashing out is because something didn't happen. Something happened that, or didn't happen that what we thought should be a certain way. It's not right. You know, it's a matter of right and wrong. And the other person was wrong. And we lash out. That's the way we conceptualize it. And it's very difficult, painful perhaps, to say, well, it's not, that's not the real explanation or issue. It's something that I was not settled in myself at that moment. That was the real underlying, you know. If I was very settled, calm, and peaceful inside, I would be able to still see what was going on, have that emotional reaction, the trigger, okay? Well, I think mind only. In our Dial a Dharma telephone service, this is where you could call a certain number, and it's like dial a prayer. 1 to 3 minutes, very short message, and we have several hundred messages from my father and myself that we taped many years ago, and I'm responsible for scheduling them. It's all computerized now. We used to use an answering machine with cassette tapes, but it's all computerized MP3s now. But I still have to select the messages. I just go down alphabetically and alternate between my father's and my messages in the tape library. Yesterday's message was my father, which incidentally, it's kind of nice to dial that number once in a while and hear his voice. But his message was, the title of today's message is Mind Only. And this reflects a very foundational school or branch of Buddhism that emphasized the fact that how we see the world the way we are. Okay? Not the way it is, the way we are. And how true this is. If you're a thief, you're always looking around because you're going to see thieves all over. If you're in love, you see love all over. Hey, no brainer. Just how it is. But to be able to really go deep, take that deep. That's the Dharma. That's the Dharma path, And, well, this is, X is not the problem. How we deal with X is the problem. It's always, this is the Buddhist way. The modus operandi is introspection, self-reflection, and it all flows from that. We realize, there's a Japanese word called sonomama. It's a great word. It means just as it is. That's how is things just as they are? How is that a spiritual basis for spiritual realization and maturity and so forth? That's kind of neat. See things just as they are, and that's okay, and it's okay. Things just as they are. Sonomama is a regular word. I mean, conversational word, not a religious word. You might be in a store, and the clerk is going to wrap up what you bought. So you want me to gift wrap it? And then in Japanese, the person might say, no, sonomama. Just like that's fine. To use that regular phrase to say, hey, I'm fine just the way I am. Everybody's fine just the way they are. Okay? And there's a story, I'm going to close with this, of the Gautama Buddha when he was standing on top of Vulture Peak, and thousands of his followers were spread out below him, and he was supposed to give a Dharma talk. And he looked out, and because of what he was feeling inside of him, he looked out and all he could see was all these smiling Buddhas. It takes a Buddha to see a Buddha. But again, the story goes, he looked out and what could he say? He couldn't say anything. All he did is see this whole ocean of faces of Buddhas. It was just this tremendous, and so he just stepped down. And as the commentary goes, that was the greatest talk that he ever made. Isn't that something? Well, that's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a very beautiful day. Thank you.